Today I'm going to be reading Psalm 114. Psalm 114 is the scripture for today, so if you've got your scriptures with you, I encourage you to open it up and keep it open. I'm sorry the projectors aren't working today, or the computer's not working. The projectors are working fine, I think, but the computer's not working today, so that gives us something definitely to work on this week, is to get that straight for next week. Listen to these words from Psalm 114. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of a foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. One of the things that you've heard me talk about many, many times is that we need to share with each other about our experiences with God. That we need to share with one another that Christian fellowship is not just sitting around the table and eating and laughing and joking and talking about the weather and kids and neighbors and grandkids. That's not all that Christian fellowship is. That is part of Christian fellowship, but the greatest part of Christian fellowship is sharing our experience with God with other people. That is the greatest part. I'd love to hear other people's stories about how they came to know God, about things that God has been teaching them, about things that God has been showing them. I'd love to hear that. Because sometimes it opens my eyes to a new area of spiritual growth and spiritual journey that I hadn't thought about. It opens me to a new direction and a new way. Oftentimes I've said it this way when I've talked about us sharing our experiences. Your Christian journey, your Christian walk, is meant to be personal. Your journey is different than my journey. You've gone by different pathway to get where you are today. So it is meant to be personal. It's your relationship with God. But nowhere in Scripture does it say it's meant to be private. Your journey with God is not meant to be private and kept only to yourself. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be talked about. It's meant to be, because, well, maybe you guys think this. Maybe you thought, I got up this morning and I got a phone call from God and God told me everything I needed to know for this day because I'm pastor. Right? That happened. And I knew everything that you needed to hear today and I knew all that was going on and all of it because I got a phone call from God. You know what? That has never happened in my life. First off, if it did happen, I think I'd be a little spooked. Hello? This is God. I want to talk to you. I think that would shock me in some ways. And I see Zach over there. Zach's getting ready to call me this afternoon. Hello, this is God. that would shock me. And I wouldn't know how to accept it. And I wouldn't know, is it right? Is it wrong? Is it, you know, what is it? I share that with you because God shared with you something this morning that I need to know. Now, did you hear that when God communicated it to you? God shared something with you this morning that this church needs to know. And you may be the only person that God's ever going to say it to. You may be that only person. And if you don't share it, this congregation will never know it. That's how the body of Christ works. Each of us taking a part. Each of us, and many times people have come to me in my 25 years of ministry, many times people have come to me and said, "Pastor, have you ever considered this is what we should be about?" And I've had to honestly look at them and say, "Nope. Never considered that for our congregation, for us as a people." Let's see if we can go that direction. Well, what encourages us to be able to do that? One of the things that encourages us to be able to do that is if we will tell each other the stories of where God has been faithful in the past. Where God has done incredible and amazing things in the past so that we could step forward on our spiritual journey. Whether you realize it or not in hearing Psalm 114 and looking at it, this short psalm reminds those who hear it of God's incredible works for God's people. There are some incredible works that God did right in the midst of these eight verses. Not just one. Multiples. Not just one. There are multiple things that as the people recite this hymn together, they're talking about, look at what God did here. Look at what God did here. Look at what God did here. To remind each other of how faithful God has been, how gracious God has been, and how much God has done to build them up and lift them up, so that they can trust God in a deeper way. Let me just go through some of them in case you didn't see them. In this psalm, it talks about coming out of slavery, coming out of Egypt, God leading God's people out of slavery, out of Egypt, into where they could be a nation of God. Out of slavery. That's one of the first things that's in this psalm. One of the other things that's in here is about crossing of the Red Sea. The sea dividing and the people crossing, the Egyptians following behind them, the water coming over top of them. And because before the sea ever crossed, Moses looked at the people and told them these words, "The enemy you see today, you will never see again." Never. The sea parted. The nation of Israel, over 600,000 people, walked across. The Egyptians said, "We'll follow them and catch them," because they're in chariots for a good number of them. And the sea collapsed on top of them, and the Egyptian army died. We need to remember that's the kind of God that we serve, don't we? A God that leads us out of slavery. A God that leads us in a way that seems impossible. Because the people looked at Moses and said, "What have you done to us? Here we are at the edge of the sea. We got nowhere to go. We're trapped by this whole army. What have you done to us?" And Moses said, "The enemy you see today, you will never see again." The parting of the Red Sea. And then it also talks about the parting of the Jordan River so that they could go into the Promised Land. I wish I could have been there to see that. Because the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and it says as the priest first stepped into the waters backed up and parted away so that the people could cross into the Promised Land on dry ground. Absolutely. Wouldn't you want to see that? Just to watch that happen and to watch the priest stand there waiting until everybody gets across and then they follow him and the river comes back. I've only seen a river appear once in my lifetime that wasn't there. We had a short rainstorm when we were camping with the Maasai in Kenya. And I mean, it was a short thunderstorm. We were camped on the banks of a dry riverbed. I mean, bone dry. Not 30 minutes after the thunderstorm, there was a river all night. There were so many frogs that came out, and no indication of frogs anywhere. Heard frogs all night till I got up to get out of the tent to find the local restroom. And all the frogs stopped. And I hadn't made a sound yet. And I'm thinking, what kind of big creatures are out there that I don't need to go to the local restroom right now? Because, see, we'd been sitting eating dinner and pitching goat's bones off into the bushes as we were eating. And one of the guys with us said, "Hey, John," who was our Maasai guide, "Hey, John, any big cats come tonight?" That's what they call lions. They just call them big cats. "Any big cats come tonight to get the bones?" "Nah, they'd be too scared to come to camp." "Hyenas, though." And Todd looked at John and said, "No, I'm joking." And John said, "I'm not. You won't find a bone in the morning. They'll all be gone." So when I got up and all the frogs stopped, I'm like, I haven't made a sound yet. I don't think I need to go out there and find out what's getting the bones right now. We can wait a little while. But that was incredible. For a day and a half, no water in this riverbed. None. Zero. Half an hour thunderstorm, it flowed all night and into next day. From that one storm that came. Absolutely incredible. I would have loved to have seen the Jordan River back up so that people could cross. Incredible. God can do that. God can do that. It also talks about God providing them water in the wilderness when there was no water to find. Look at what it says in verse 8. "Who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water." There was nothing to drink. Water's crucial. You can't go many days without water, really. And it drastically affecting your body. I think you can only go about a week. And they said, "Lord, we need some water." And he told Moses, "Go to that rock and I'll provide it." Moses struck the rock and they had water to drink. You see, they're telling the stories of how God provided for them. They're telling the stories of the fantastic and incredible and, yes, impossible things that God did for them. I've had people tell me, "You don't really believe the story about the crossing of the Red Sea, that it parted." Yes, I do. I believe that God can do that. I believe that God can do incredible things. I know a God that does impossible things. So when you come to me and say, "Well, Pastor, that's impossible. We can't do that." Good. We got the right thing to do because we serve a God that does impossible things. We found an impossible thing. Fantastic. Let's see how God works it. Let's see what God does. You see, they're telling these stories over and over and over again. Before these scriptures were ever written down, they told them by mouth in their families. They told them time and time and time again. They knew them from memory. Let me tell you the stories of God. Let me tell you what God has done. Remembering God's mighty works helps us to trust God for future works. Remembering God's mighty works helps us to trust God for future works. If I know God can do this, then surely God can do this. If I know God can take care of 600,000 people in the wilderness for 40 years, surely God can take care of us. Amen? I mean, if God does that for God's people, cannot God do it for us? Let's talk about those stories. Let's share those stories. I know, you're going to tell me, but Pastor, we're not Jewish. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. The God of the Hebrew Bible is the same God of the Greek Bible. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. We've come to understand that God better, so sometimes it doesn't look like it's the same. We've come to understand that God. God has continually revealed God's self more and more and more and shown us how God can work and how God can do things and the incredible and impossible things that God can do. I mean, how does God take care of me, my wife, and three young children? Well, I got to pay tuition for seminary. My wife's only at home taking care of the kids, not working a job that pays. She was working. And I'm only working a part-time job. Our family never went without. Not one time. There was never a bill that was late. There were some medical problems during those years that caused us to have extra expenses over and atop and beyond. Not a one of them was ever unpaid. I got all the money I needed for going to seminary. There was always food on the table. My kids always had clothes. The rent was always paid. The electricity was always paid. So what do I believe? I believe that God can do impossible things. I believe that God can do incredible things to fund what God wants to do. Amen? Amen. If that's what God wants, God wanted me to go to seminary. God wanted me to learn how to be a pastor. God wanted those things, and my kids never went without, even though I didn't make the money to provide for them. You know what? That tells me I can trust God for the future. If God did that for me then, and God did that for my family then, I can trust God to take care of me in the future. Because part of the sad thing about being a pastor sometimes is you don't really have money for the future. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I know that God will take care of me. I know it. It doesn't scare me. I'm not fearful of it. If nothing else, I got a tent and a sleeping bag. I can make it somewhere. Not a big deal. Now, Deanne might not agree with me on that. She has a sleeping bag too, but I'm not sure that she would agree with me on that philosophy. But it's possible. God will. And here's what I want to tell you. What are the stories of which we should remind ourselves? What are the stories about how this church has progressed through the ages and how God has taken care of this church? What are the stories that we need to retell? What are the stories that we need to remind ourselves of? Well, when this happened, you won't believe what happened. I can tell you one that very recent. We were given a gift of stock, and we had to fix the dome because it was leaking. The bill was $18,000. And everybody was like, where are we going to get that money? About 3 years previous to that, somebody had given us some stock. And that stock almost covered the whole bill. I've heard talk from y'all about, and if you don't know it, there's a plaque right outside this door. The church talked about renovating the sanctuary, talked about renovating the outside of the church because it needed some upkeep. How are we going to pay for it? A gentleman died who never came to the church, from what the story I was told. maybe came once or so, but was not a church attender here, and in his will left every penny that was needed to renovate the church. We need to tell the stories about what God has done. And when we realize what God has done in the past, that should give us a way to trust God more for what God wants to do in the future. Amen? I mean, if that's what God wants us, if that's the way that God wants us to walk, that's the way that God wants us to go, will God not provide for it? Will God not give you the skills and the gifts and the talents you need to take your part in it? Will God not, through the Holy Spirit, lift us all up so that we can walk that journey together? What are the stories we need to tell each other? Because if we tell those stories, our trust and our confidence in God for the future grows when we remember the mighty works that God's already done. If God will lead over 600,000 people through the Red Sea and get rid of their enemy in one day, why will God not take care of us then? Why will God not provide for us? I ask you to think about it. What are the stories we need to tell? What are the stories? And maybe this afternoon you can tell somebody a story at the time that we're going to have here at the church. How has God been so faithful in the past that we can trust God over, above, and beyond? So I'm asking you to think about, what story should you tell this community so that people can trust God more and walk in greater confidence with God? What story do you need to tell? What story do you need to share about how faithful God has been so that we can bolster each other up, be encouraged to go, what's ahead of us is nothing for our God who has done all of these things. What's before us is so small in comparison to all of these things. How will God not take care of us now? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we all come to you knowing stories about you. Knowing stories of what you've done for us, how you've guided us, how you've led us. We know how you have done remarkable things in our lives. We've seen you heal people. We've seen you keep people from having multiple and tremendous problems. We've seen how you provided for us. We've seen in the scriptures how you have done so much for your people through the ages. Lord, help us to pause a moment. Help us to pause a moment and really reflect on what that means. Because what that means is, if you were able to do all of these things, then how is the hurdle in front of us really a hurdle? Lord, it's nothing more than a stepping stone to living on a higher plane with you. So help us not to see what we're looking at in front of us as struggles. What we're looking at in front of us as roadblocks. What we're looking at in front of us as things that cause us to turn around and go the other way. Help us to see them as stepping stones. Because we serve a great God. We serve an incredible God that has done so much through thousands of years for your people. So Lord, we look at your provision and we step forward confidently, knowing that you will provide, that you will take care, that you will guide us and lead us during every challenge that's in front of us. So that those challenges might turn into stepping stones, not roadblocks. So, Lord, help us to see how great you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.